We often talk about how much one needs to save for retirement. But one factor that sometimes gets overlooked are some of the gender disparities when it comes to retirement savings. The second annual Mercer Retirement Readiness Barometer, whew, that's a mouthful, found that women on average retire with an account balance 30% lower than men. Joining me now to talk about this is Jillian Kennedy, partner at Mercer and the leader of the firm's financial wellness business. Hello there.
Hello. Nice to be here today.
What is the barometer and how does it work?
So we started the barometer. This is the second year. Our first year, we really just were curious to see how, at what age Canadians could retire. And so at Mercer, we're a consulting firm. We collect a lot of Canadian data. We have a really good understanding on how people save. And so we're able to kind of replicate historical information. We decided to take a look at different generations. And very simply, we project into the future and we try to predict based on, you know, what someone could potentially earn as a return on their investments, how much they might continue to save. And we assume that someone's trying to target an income replacement when they're in retirement of about 70% of the income that they had when they were working. And then we arrive at an age. And so we did that study last year. It was really, really interesting to learn about how Canadians might save. But this year, we really wanted to focus on some additional information that was jumping out at us, so trends. And it was very clear to us that the biggest trend in our data and our research was that disparity between genders.
Well, the account balance number both horrifies me and doesn't surprise me, given how much on this show we have been talking about gender disparity in all facets of personal finance. An account balance of 30% lower than men's, what is your hypothesis on why that is? And I should probably pluralize that because I'm sure there's more than just one factor.
Yeah. So when we saw this, we were equally horrified. And so we set about right away to try to figure out where this was coming from. And so the very first thing that we noticed is that women don't save as much. And so we were able to look at thousands of data points, and we weren't taking a look at this point at how much women were earning. It was more about, you know, what's the percentage of income that's coming off of their paycheck that's going towards some type of a retirement product? So like an RSP or a TFSA or, you know, some of the type of products that we see where savings would go. And we actually found that there, you know, on average was a 1% difference year over year in how women were saving versus men when it comes to money coming off their pay. And that's an average. So some were way lower, some were a little bit higher, and that's based on annualized numbers. So if you can think about that over your lifetime and the amount of years that you save, you know, this really, it's additive. It compounds the problem year over year over year.
There's a very simple explanation for that, it would seem, and that is women earn less than men.
That's absolutely one of the reasons. So, you know, pay inequities, like it's systemic, right? So if you think about just even our government programs and how much we're going to get from the government when we all retire one day, you know, the Canada Pension Plan, you know, that's all attached to how much we earn and how much time we're in the workforce. And then you take a look at, you know, some of us are lucky enough to even have employer-based programs, so workplace savings programs, that's where our company can help us save. That's also tied to a percentage of earnings and the time that I spend in the workplace. So it's
you did find that women saved less in their workplace retirement savings programs. Was that a pure correlation to income and time in workforce?
So we say we believe absolutely that it has to do with income, but because there's also such a close tie to service, like how much time am I spending working, right? Mm-hmm. And we have seen career interruptions as being something that's also systemic. So it's not just about I'm getting paid less and so I can't save as much, but it also is I'm not actually as engaged potentially in saving because I have so many other things to deal with. And even with the backdrop of the pandemic, this is only worsened. It's not just going on leave because I'm having a baby. It could be because I'm taking care of existing children or my parents or elder care. Like it goes on and on and on and on.
What are the new conversations we need to have about this. And I ask because I have been covering this particular angle for a decade or more. I am a parent to a daughter. I am in a same-sex marriage where the gender dynamic is not the same as it would be with a heterosexual couple, where there's like, oh yeah, the norms around women caring for the kid and the aging parents and the cleaning and et cetera, et cetera. So I have a particular view and feel like, oh my God, how many more times are we going to talk about this? So you tell me, what are we not talking about that will have it make a difference this time?
So I think for us, it came down to really two major things. So I'll talk about each and I'll pause so you, in case you wanted to explore it a little differently.
Bark out something else as I want to do.
Please bark. So the first one is really just about flexibility, right? And so if there's a problem with people being able to fully participate in a workforce or really think through how much they want to earn or potentially even have opportunity to earn more throughout their life, we need to offer flexibility. We need to think about our workplace differently. We need to think about how people would participate in that workforce. We have to think beyond, you know, the traditional kind of diversity type topics that we're all talking about right now and think about inclusion and how to include more people and how that would work and to make people feel comfortable about maybe not fitting traditional norms. So just what you just said. And I think that's definitely a problem. I think we're going to get better. The pandemic is forcing us to all be more flexible in our day-to-day lives. But when it comes to things like saving and long-term financial security, it's going to take a while for those habits and those values for us to change. It's going to take time. And so being inclusive and understanding the needs of the flexible person is by far going to be something we need to all be conscious of going forward.
What was the second thing? I'm trying not to bark out.
The second thing is overall just, you know, financial well-being. I mean, we talk a lot and we've talked a lot in the marketplace lately about mental health and supporting ourselves and self-care. But financial well-being is often something that is forgotten about as a key pillar of being able to support each other. And there's a lot of shame and there's a lot of embarrassment and there's a lot of individuals that just feel, I'm so stupid, I just don't know what to do here. And women in particular, we have seen in all of our research, tend to have lower financial confidence. Even if that means that they're intelligent and they have good financial literacy, they just have lower confidence.
We just did that conversation through another lens last week on the show. And then, of course, I go to what do our young women need to know and learn so that the consequences of that confidence gap are less pronounced? Because it's one thing to have her, air quotes, her, improve her confidence in her 40s or 50s. It's quite another if that confidence gap is narrowed when she's 12.
Absolutely.
What are the things that are on your radar for Barometer 3.0? What more needs to be understood in particular on the gender disparity question?
So we really want to keep tracking this. I mean, let's talk about what women do really, really well. Okay. So women actually invest better than men. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to see that, you know, consistently, regardless if someone was, you know, early career, mid career, or late career, women are actually getting a higher rate of return. And we looked at over 600,000 data points here, and it was pretty consistent across the board. And the reality is that, you know, women actually do trust others to, they completely want transparency, but they're okay to have a professional to make this work for them. And so we want to continue to watch the good stuff. And we want to see if there's ways that we can help women to feel like, okay, I'm going to build on that confidence. And I want to build on the fact that I can delegate and trust somebody else and it works for me. So we definitely want to do that. But we also want to start to track as well how the pandemic will potentially further deteriorate, you know, things like pay equity or what you know, I think we're calling the she session, right? Mm. Just not being in the workplace and continue. It's really early days. We can't really see it yet. So Barometer 3 will definitely be looking out for those changes.
Really fascinating stuff. I noticed how incredulous I get on this topic. I lost all manner of objectivity. I appreciate that you have provided that context. The data is sound and the march towards progress continues. Thank you, Jillian.
Thank you so much.
Jillian Kennedy is a partner at Mercer and the leader of the firm's financial wellness business. We were talking about their latest barometer findings and in particular, some of the findings on gender disparity.